Welcome everyone on this seventh day of October. What a beautiful season we're having in almost every part of the United States. And I hope it's as beautiful everywhere else in the Northern Hemisphere, because this is fall the way we love it. So invigorating, so refreshing, and not as many allergens as we have in the springtime, and not as much wind as we have in the springtime. You know, those allergens and the wind are all part of God's creation. We've got to love it, but sometimes we wish we were on the other hemisphere when we go through that season. Anyway, I am just delighted to be here looking out a bright, sunny window into a beautiful blue sky, and I want to welcome all of you, and especially our co-presenter, Nancy. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here. So happy to be together again. You know, it's funny, I think about us as like this wonderful community. I imagine us sitting in a big circle together, and we can all see each other and, feel each other's hearts across the way. And so that's kind of how I see us together today. So I'm happy so many of us are here already. So welcome.
Wonderful. Yeah. And, we're just here for you. I always prepare the day before, and it doesn't seem to matter, except that I have files in my library I can draw upon if the synchronicity between you and Yeshua brings forth a subject that now I'm sort of ready to answer or contribute to. It does pay off that I prepare, but, you know, it's just like in all of my seminars, I lay the book down when I walk in the room, because what's important is you. And what's vital and essential is addressing that which is in your heart and your mind. So feel free to share. You're in a community of people who will respect your opinions, your needs, your doubts, or most especially, we want to hear about your blessings and celebrate with you. So everything you could possibly share is welcome. And you just have to press star 6 to be put into the queue. And then when we call your name, press 1, and that will open your line. If you've also put yourself on mute, you've got to unmute as well. We can't do that for you. All right. We've got some people coming online and can't wait to hear from you. So, Nancy, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay, and before we start, I, of course, have the blessing to share of the little baby Arthur, who's going to be 4 weeks on Wednesday, and then today Gary and Amber, it's their due date for number 3, so she's just patiently waiting, but everything looks good. Yeah, she's ready, so we're really excited about that. So, but I'd also like to just, before I forget, to ask for blessing for my son-in-law, Rashad. His mom, Shirley, she's such a wonderful soul. She just looks at life from super glass half full, and all the hardships she deals with, she just finds a way through them, I tell you. And she's always positive. Anyway, she's in ICU struggling with kidney issues and heart stuff, and it doesn't look very good. So we're just holding a wonderful family circle of love around her, and just wanted everyone to think about Shirley, and let's add her to our blessing today. So thank you I can share that.
Yes. We certainly will. And a comment I can make on that, which might be of value to others, either for yourself or those you know, is the combination of heart issues and kidney is a reflection of years and years of stress that a person has been through, which is really how you preceded your presentation anyway, that she has had hardships and yet she held them in a high ground so that they could not be imposed on others. That's a very stressful thing to do, a wonderful gift, and a great personal sacrifice to make that gift. Instead, because you see what happens when we're in a great state of stress is it affects the hormone and protein content in our blood, not to mention the cortisol. And all of these things have to be filtered. Your blood is cleansed with your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of the heart, the blood, and the kidneys means a lifetime of very, very high stress. So,
Yeah, that describes it, really, for sure. It really does describe her. And the way she always would hold things, the way you're saying and describing. And she's such a woman of faith and, you know, loves Yeshua. And she's just a very powerful soul that's just got this big heart. So thank you for, you know, just letting her be part of our circle today and our blessing today.
Oh,
and,
of course. And you know, more than just asking blessings for her body, we ask for love and sanctification of her soul for the work it has done to provide the best possible life for anyone in her life.
Yeah, that is perfect. Thank you, Glenda. Thank you for letting us start off this way. Thank you. Well, everyone, we've got some wonderful members here today. I'm going to open up our first line. Glenda, and we have Eva. Eva, I hope you're doing better today.
Well, I'm improving somewhat, so it is getting I had a therapy come in, and now we're starting therapy again, which is a good thing. And but tomorrow I'm getting a hospital bed so that I can sit up in bed because I'm having trouble maneuvering. And that kind of makes me feel like hospice, so I feel a little funny about it. But they tell me that people have it not because of hospice, but because of their body condition. And So I have to think
definitely
that way. And think.
Well,
that
yeah, you do. You get to define your personal hopes, dreams, and expectations. You get to define that, not the machinery that comes in to assist you.
Yeah. That's what's always been hard for me to feel confident for myself. I feel confident when I'm doing things for other people, but I haven't been very good at feeling confident about myself. So blessings again for all of that. I appreciate all that you are doing.
You are
so
welcome.
But the other thing, the brighter side is my granddaughter was married yesterday. I had really been hoping to be there, but fortunately they had it on Zoom, so I was able to at least be there. And my daughter did buy me a special outfit for it so that if I would want to have them see me, I would look good.
I love that.
Yeah, so that was good. And it was a very sparkly outfit, which was kind of nice. And today they came over, and it was a Quaker wedding, which is very different from the traditional kind of thing. And if you know anything about Quakers, they sort of marry themselves because they don't have the ministers to do it for them. And that's kind of interesting. And then everybody that's been there signs their wedding certificate. So that was new to me. You know, that they don't have just a few people signing that have been in the wedding party. They have, like, everybody that's there. And they came over here today and took pictures. Pictures taken with me in the wheelchair. And so that was kind of interesting. Yeah. So
that was a bright spot in your life for sure.
Yeah, it was good. So I'm still waiting for the greater healing, and hope it will be here before too long here. And thank you so much for all the blessings. I really appreciate it.
You are so lovingly welcome.
Thank you. Thank you much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. How fun they were able to make you part of everything. That's just beautiful. Okay, Eva, we have... Hi, Pat Raz. How are you? Can you hear us?
Pat, unmute your phone.
Hi, Ben, Nancy, and Glenda. I am so happy to hear your voices. I'd like to tell you a little story about what happened today. I was cleaning out a drawer, and I found a bottle of Christen I didn't know I had, so I started splashing it all over me, like a little, you know, happy experience, and it was so much fun, and I just had these memories that came flooding back of times that we've been together, and Nancy, of you and the times that you have taken care of the communities that you've been involved with. And I thought about the time when you were in the working for the church in Austin, the Catholic Church, and you took a group of people, this is 20 years ago, you took a group of people to stay on the street with the homeless folks to see what that was like. And one of the ladies' husbands, one of the lady's husbands brought Starbucks to everybody. And so all the homeless people, the people from the fancy Catholic church enjoyed Starbucks.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a long time ago.
Wasn't it, you know, 25, maybe, you know, at least years ago. But all of these pieces of being of service to different communities. And I just love when I get to join y'all and feel the connection that we have all over the world of,
we do.
You know,
from
this past. Is it really 30 years now?
Well, since what?
You know, that you started pulling people together to
well,
share with
91
us
your
Yeshua.
We are almost at the anniversary of the coming of the light, which was the 23rd of November, 1991. So that would make it 32 years.
Wow.
From the very beginning moment. And
yes,
then, and then after the painting, The Lamb and the Lion was completed, it only took about a week to start getting it out to the world. So, we are very close to the 32 year mark.
Wow. Well, many, many thanks for all those years and all the, you know, all the times we have connected to you and your energy and your love, and just kind of caught those streamers when we needed them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, I like that. Well, you've got a great sense of humor, Pat, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
We love you. I hope your family's doing well.
Oh, yes. You know, Libby and Jake were sweethearts for a little while there when they were 9 or 10. And now Jake has three little girls.
Oh, wow.
So he has the same ages as your three that Libby has.
It's just amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, glad you're here. We love that you're here today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Love
you.
Memory lane is always fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that conversation, Nancy, reminds me of a famous old quote. you can't make old friends.
Oh, right.
They're treasures.
They're treasures. They're there forever.
To mark the times of life with us.
You know, and it's a lifetime of transformation in Christ with all of us, you know, and learning the truth and taking everything in. It takes us a while, you know, wisdom, knowledge, wisdom seeping in and understanding the truth that he really brought to us through you. And when he first came, I don't know why everyone could be received then, but boy, it's such a wonderful thing to see how we've all grown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we received an order last week from a gentleman who put on the line on your company line, retired. So I realized, you know, he's in my segment of life or close to it, maybe 10 years earlier, who knows. And he ordered 2 copies of Love Without End and 1 copy of the study manual for Love Without End, and just said that he had been on the blessing calls and they changed his life. That's all he said on the order. It wasn't addressed to me. It was, I presume, to anyone who would open the store business. Anyway, what I got from that, I thought it was a very precious feeling I got from that. Like, we have our old friends who've been with us for 30 years, and I realized this is someone coming in who may be with us for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I felt a new person walking on the path that so many of us have walked on for many years, and I just sent a special blessing of welcome, and please, please join our community. We'd love to have you. So we have all generations in this progress through life, and by generations, I don't mean personal chronology of life. I'm talking about generations of participating with us as a group. We've got way long-termers. Even, I mean, yeah, let's see. Bishop Dale came to, this was about the time the Lamb and the Lion had been shown once, and the word got out somehow, some way, to me, he's a young man. He's so much younger than me, but he'd laugh if I called him a young man now. Anyway, the word got out to him, and he called and wanted to come to our home and see the painting. And we were having people in our home at that time, so he came. He's now a bishop of the church. So it just shows that it doesn't matter where you start in studying and learning these messages that build your connection with Christ, which is all that really matters, and your accessibility and union with God the Creator. It's not quite as personal for most people in union with God. It's more an openness to be blessed and to be loved and to love in return. You know, most people don't even consider seeing the face of God. I mean, how could he even have a face and be Lord of a universe that is so magnificent and so extensive beyond our ability to see, only a few light years out in distance. But we still feel his presence. And to feel that presence and unite with us is all that he wants from us, because he knows that in our union with him, we will bring out the best in ourselves. And we will attract to ourselves the best of potential, support, and friendship that will see us along our pathway in life. So once that connection is established, it's almost like a form of birth. You know, you you come out of the womb, but you're placed into mother's arms, and there it all begins.
Yeah, love it. Thanks so much.
Well, Glenn, we have Scott open. Can you hear us, Scott?
Yes, hello. I got to have a good experience last week speaking to a group of philanthropists in my community. And some of my talk was about me a little bit, but most of it drew from Love Without End. And I got to talk about really cool stuff, expansion and compression, levels of communication. So it went over well, good experience. And I did send it to you, a copy, Glenda, at 2 o'clock.
Well,
Eastern
I'll look
time.
For it. I will
the title
look
might
for
be
it.
Cool. The title might be Windermere Union Church because I was forwarding it. But you can check it out.
Oh,
if you want to.
You know, I did see that, and there was a PDF. But I was on my phone where I don't have a PDF reader. So, yeah, I do have it, and I'll pull it up on my computer so I can read your PDF.
Cool. I had a great experience. So thanks, everybody, for the support.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Okay, well, you always have our prayers and support. And we're so very, very proud of the work you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Exactly what you were talking about, Glenda. It just keeps expanding. We have area code 352. I don't have a name, but welcome.
Hi, Nancy. This is Nancy from Florida. I was saying in a minute why you don't recognize the number, but I wanted to wish everybody just wonderful Sunday blessing and to thank everybody for the prayers for my friend Hans, who had the serious respiratory issues. He finally will be coming home. I think it may even be today. He kind of made a few detours, and it was, you know, free will plays a part in our recovery and how we heal and how long it takes. But he is coming home, so we can all just be really thankful for that. And I am so grateful for
thank
prayers
you,
for him, Glenda. It's wonderful.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And then I wanted to tell you, last Wednesday I had to take an ambulance ride to the hospital. I had some chest pain. And tomorrow they will be doing a cardiac procedure for me at 9 o'clock in the morning, Florida time. So I was going to ask for prayers and blessings for myself this time. And I'm doing really well in addressing it, and I'm looking forward to it. I want the problem fixed, but it surely wouldn't hurt to have all that love coming my way when your doctors are working on me. So I ask for that, and thank you in advance.
And with your big, beautiful heart, oh, my goodness, you're going to have all the love you need and spilling over.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you so much.
So just
and that's,
go in with
that's all I wanted
abundance.
To let you know. Yeah. A friend of mine brought me a vase of plants and flowers from her garden today.
Oh.
So, yes, it's really beautiful because I imagine her house and all of the plants. She's a gardening person, so.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
I'm doing very well.
I was in Florida. I would be too. It's deep in my heart, but lately I haven't been living where the plants grow very well. So.
Yes, I'm
it's
sure.
Probably a good thing I'm not in Florida. I would spend too much time with my with my plants and flowers.
You would have. You would just pet them all day long.
Oh, I would. I would, actually. So, thank you, God, that I'm not where I'm doing it. I need to be doing what I'm called to do. oh, that's great. Great, you got the bounty of a garden. That is so wonderful. You know, the thing is, plants draw up the energy of the earth and bring to us that which we need to draw up. And I think all plants do that, but the ones that are shipped in from other places don't have the same connection as we do. And I've noticed that, you know, I'm loaded with houseplants, and I have to order them from other places to get the ones I want. And I noticed that it takes them about a month to 2 months to get acclimated and feel the energy of this place. And once they take on, then we have great exchanges of energy. You know, I think that it's really, really important to have our connections with the earth. You know, we know how important it is to have a connection with our Creator. That we know. We don't always know how to do it, but we know we should. We know it's the right way of life. But I think we overlook the earth. There is a teaching that still exists and is perpetuated in many indigenous cultures where people garden their own food. They raise their own food, and it's considered to be the earth will give you what you need. And every person's garden is unique to them. So it may be that we've got more problems with our food than just the chemicals in the soil. It may just be a lot of it is, I don't know how I segued on this, but I think it might be important, is that industrial farming produces, even if it's organic, it produces peas and carrots and onions and whatever. From land far away on land we have no connection with, and then it tells us it ships it here through mechanical conveyance. And I'm wondering, do you have static on your phone, Nancy?
Yes, I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
People have told me that there is noise. It may be all of the equipment that's in the hospital. I'm not sure. But, Glenda, you know what you are saying about industrialized agriculture made me remember something. It's a force-based system. We're forcing the earth to provide products. And it is very different from lovingly planting and just sending out real appreciation for the land and the fertility of the soil and all of the other things that come from loving the soil that is feeding you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the point I was leading to is everybody, whenever it's possible, visit your local farmers market. It's a great way of supporting the local industry of producing food that is actually good for you. And then the food will be good for you. It's a great connection to establish and something that will benefit your life, and you're benefiting the life of people who produce that. So I'm really in favor of supporting small businesses of all types when they are, especially when they're handcrafted, lovingly produced, or at least ethically produced, and providing something that nurtures us. You know, we actually had a choice in this. We did. And we chose what was easy because it's easy for us to work a hard day, run into the grocery store, buy something quick off the shelf, take it home, make dinner. Well, you got the picture. You got the picture because to some degree, we all have lived that picture. But we don't have to all the time. And it's not good enough to complain. Just forget about your complaints, because they don't matter. Your complaints are not going to change a doggone thing, except your energy level is going to go down every time you complain. So forget your complaints. Just do what you can that's positive whenever you can do it. And that would be my recommendation.
That's for sure. And I wanted to tell you something, that this whole discussion of the garden, it's related to that. In my meditation group last week, we were doing a joining. And, you know, you see lots of things during the joining, but what I saw was that each person holding hands in that circle was one of the white flowers of the earth. And then I thought about it, and I thought, and we're walking flowers. So, yeah, it was really beautiful to see it, and then to get the walking flower part of it was really fun and nice. So, another garden analogy.
Yes. And I dread to think if the team could walk, they'd probably all leave this area.
Well, let's hope not. So, there's something to love about every area.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they are faithful to the place in which they are planted. And they have something to offer us in that regard. Just think that you look out in your yard and see this tree that's been there for maybe, they do fast growing stuff, so maybe only 20 years, but still, it's there and it's not going to move anywhere. And just think about the faith it has to hold with the earth and the climate, the sun, the rain, and the part it does in attracting rain or defeating drought, because these beautiful gifts of life are playing their part too.
Yes, the plants show the balance. They show that the balance exists, and even over times when there's a little bit of shortage of rain or fertilizer or something, still, the balance comes back, so we always have to hold that faith in the balance. Mm-hmm. And the plants show us that, I think, in a unique way.
And they run deep. I look at these big trees on my property. I'm thankful for the rain we got, 2 inches, but gosh, they were without for so long, and then, you know, they have to have those really, really, really deep root systems, and that's something to contemplate too, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And when you have those dry spells, that's when the roots reach down.
Yes, they do.
They have to work to get the water, so they grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, may God bless us all. Or whatever dimension of life we live. And we know that He will.
Yeah.
We know that He will.
And Nancy, we'll be all thinking of you tomorrow morning.
Blessings and remembrance tomorrow morning.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I can feel it now. Pardon?
Are you in the hospital now?
Yes. I've been here since last Wednesday night.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, bless your heart.
Well, it's okay. I haven't.
It's okay. Is it boring?
Well, you know, I haven't been bored yet either. So
I'm good.
You know, the light is within us. So
absolutely,
it's okay. So. This is an adventure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, my dear.
We love you, Nancy. Okay, we're going to open up another caller, Glenda. Is this Stormy?
A half a day today and part away, part of the day tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'm getting a head start. I played the new version, the revised version of Calling of Angels. It just cut off for the energy of this blessing call, and I want to bless David Gibson for spending 8 hours as a recording engineer to make it the version that he put it in, and the fact that he gave away 8,000 copies last year at one of his all weekend long sound healing seminars. And I just want to let you know that I had that angel energy for this blessing call, and for the heart, I'll also offer some of my angel heart for the procedure tomorrow. I've got my heart, but then I've also got my angel heart, and I'm going to offer that also.
Oh, that's wonderful, Stormy. Thank you.
I've got two hearts. I know I may have three or four that I haven't heard of yet, but that's yet to be determined. We'll find out soon enough. Okay. Just thought I'd bring some beauty and humor and angel energy for this blessing call.
Well, we welcome angel energy. Yeah.
All righty. Next.
Thank you, Stormy. I can hear you playing that music tomorrow for Nancy. That's so lovely. Gosh. This warms me all over. Thank you, Stormy. We have Mara here. Mara, we haven't heard from you in a long time. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, all things considered. How's that?
Perfect.
Well, do we give out some of that consideration?
I first of all want to thank all of you. For I've been here, I don't think I've missed any calls. I just haven't said anything, but I've enjoyed listening the many, many calls that are so, to me anyway, profound. And I'm happy to hear that Eva's feeling a little better today, and also want to join with everybody in thanking you, Nancy, for all the calls that you monitor and make sure we get through. And I enjoy everyone and all they have to say. And the conversations have been just marvelous. I would like to sometimes I'm finding lately that it's a little difficult for me to express how grateful I am for so many things that I'm surprised at how many blessings keep coming my way, and I'm thinking that it must be because I have been with this very loving group for such a long time, and I have felt your love and felt the love of Yeshua, and I have very little sight left, and now my hearing is going, but I am trying out some hearing aids, and that seems to be helping, but the thing that surprises me so much is, and I say to I ask the question to Yeshua, I don't know how to be grateful enough for all you give me. And so perhaps you could help me pray for enough gratitude. It's just like everything seems to be kind of miraculous, or, well, now not actually. It's actually very miraculous. The many, many things, the many blessings we are given. Mm. And I would like to have everyone on this planet experience those blessings. And that's kind of what I pray the most for, is happiness and joy and blessings for all.
It's coming, Eva. Even though we look around the world and there's hardships and catastrophes happening and wars breaking out, on the other side is we're going to discover the pointlessness of all of these unnecessary conflicts. And then everyone else will be faced with your problem, how to express their gratitude for what's on the other side. I look forward to the day when everybody has your problem.
Well,
I could say one thing, Mara. Mara, I would just say about your gratitude. I see you've been here all these weeks, and I just feel your love and your presence with all of us. And I would say part of your prayer is answered because we're all grateful for you, and that kind of just the way our hearts stand when it comes to your love and what you bring to all of us. So we're helping with your prayer, okay?
Oh,
yes,
thank you so much.
Well,
for all your loving thoughts, and I send them all back to you. And I my sister is here at this same living place now, so we get together and we have a lot of laughs, even though she's had a stroke and she's she has her challenges too. We laugh and laugh together, and that's a blessing too. So I would wish them for everyone. And well, I won't keep you forever. I'll let you go on to the next person. But thank you all whom have mentioned my name. And I wish I could recall all of your names at the moment, but I can't. You've always been so lovely to me. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you.
You're
welcome. We appreciate you.
Glenda,
no.
You are a real example and a real treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amen.
Thank you. And, you know, everything you say just reminds me, in summary, isn't love wonderful?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And doesn't it just keep growing and expanding?
Yes. I know.
Yeah.
How wonderful it is. Oh, my goodness. It just is.
It is.
You know, I pray for the day when everyone has the experience and the feelings that you're having, Mara, because that is the pinnacle of life. That is the perfect pinnacle of life, when you can have those feelings. You, kid, you've done it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I am going to try to call you someday when I can, Glenda, because I'm wondering, I have so many papers that I need to check out with you as to whether to destroy them or to pass them. I don't really, I have one friend, Candace, another blessing giver, the only one that stayed with this study with me, and she would appreciate a lot of them, and does. But I don't, well, anyway, I'll get back to you on that, okay?
Okay. Well, Laura, I'll write you and tell you how to reach me, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I will. And maybe Candace can help you on that. All right?
Right. Okay, that'd be great. I'll, you let me know and we'll work on it.
Okay. Okay. I sure will. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye.
God bless you, Mom.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right back at you, honey.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, Glenda, so inspiring, you know, Eva and Nancy and Mara, all in, you know, the hospital setting, and, you know, or situations of health, that, and they're here every week. It's just so beautiful, so.
Yeah, and I think I may have found the right number for you, Eva, so if I have, you'll be hearing from me soon.
Great.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. We have another caller. Love
okay.
you, Mara.
Love
bless
all
you.
Of Bye.
Bye. Okay, Glenda, we have Francesca. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Nancy?
I'm good. Hi, really Nancy. Good.
I've been here all these weeks, pretty much. I haven't said hello, but I want to say hello, Glenda. Hello, everyone. I want to say thank
hello.
You so much. I always feel, to follow up on what Maura said, I always feel so grateful and so inspired. You know, when I'm on this call and when I listen to all the really inspiring and good information, which I sometimes share with other people because I feel so inspired. So I'm just so grateful to be part of this community because I feel that the wisdom and the love and the blessings have really enriched my life. So I want to say thank you. And, I also just wanted to ask for, a blessing for, for my continuing, work in progress to how I can contribute to a harmonious, environment in my workplace. You know, that's one of my big goals, to be, part of the solution where I work. And, so that's what I would like a blessing for and any guidance as well. So.
Well, that's a wonderful request, Francesca. And, you know, I don't know that my remarks have to do with guidance, but they do have to do with affirmation of your request, because let's just think about it. Most people work a great proportion of their life. And in that time they spend working, they're with other people. How much better it would be if we supported each other in our workplace instead of competing or worked on status or who's more important or who did the most. We work on what the work is all about. Why are we here? The purpose of what we're doing. And the actual privilege of doing it, turning it into the joy of working together. you know, when we think, literally think about, probably for an average working middle class person, 40 hours a week minimum of your life is spent in that workplace. More time than with your family. We need to make that a joyful, purposeful place to be, working with one another. And it doesn't have to come from the group, the officially appointed group manager, because we all are group managers in that we all have an influence over the entirety of the environment we're in. And so to share, to have that as a purpose, it might actually help to develop your statement of purpose in such a way that other people could relate to it and express it to them and motivate this aspiration for everyone to create the very best place in which to work. And, you know, it, in any workspace, there's an inevitability. Some people will be paid more, and whoever owns the company will be paid the most. That's a given. Let's just don't stress over that, because it's just going to exist in any place of work. But that's not why we're there. We're there to create a life. And actually, the earnings and the benefits of that workplace filter down to everybody more in more abundance when the work is getting effectively produced. So we need to remember, this is part of our life. This isn't someplace we go just to earn money. It's a part of our life, and it's a big part of our life that affects every other part of our life. And so I think your request is an extremely important, extremely valid request, Francesca. I do.
Thank you, Glenda. I do too. And I'm fortunate to be in a workplace where, you know, the larger organization is, you know, has been expressing like aspirational goals, which are really fantastic. They're really wonderful because, you know, they're in alignment with like higher values. But I kind of see like some of the folks maybe aren't there yet, you know? So I just want to contribute in a positive way, you know?
Well, you know, I think part of their problem is this. They're coming there just to work, and they're forced to work because of problems they got to support at home. And then their motivation is actually force-based. It's kind of like what Nancy was mentioning, so many things in the world are force-based, that we're forced to do this because of something else that forces us to do that, that forces us to do that. And when people are coming from a force base of motivation, they apply force to everything. And they do it as a habit and don't even really mean for it to be a downer, shall we say, you know, or an obstructive energy in the environment. They just do it out of habit because everything in their life is forced. And it takes a little bit of patience and acclimation to other potentials of doing something because it's a value, and realizing that relieving the force does not hinder production. It actually helps production. You see, so many people think, I have to force myself to do this or I won't do the whole job and it won't be done well. Well, the fact is, if they get rid of the force, they will do a better job with higher production. And they don't know that. They don't know that. Let them see it in others and then help them to understand that maybe if they enjoyed what they did, they would do a better job. be more productive. And, you know, it takes a while to get some of these attitudes filtered out. And it's not your fault, but you can be a contributing element to the general motivational climate in a work environment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Francesca.
We'll hold you in our blessings and motivation for your work being the highest and the best place for you to be.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome. Gosh, that workplace can be challenging and tricky, that's for sure.
For me,
Francesca, you know, I work with some interesting, very different people than I am, and different ways of living and being, and sometimes it's hard. And there are times that it's easy, it's easy for me when I really don't focus on what's working and not what's not working. Because some of the things, you know, are just, I don't know, they're just hard with the people that are.
Oh, I know. For 10 years of my life, I taught at, well, two different universities, Tulane University and the University of Oklahoma. And I would say the only place that's more political than universities in this country would be Washington, D.C.
Right.
Universities are about 90% political. Oh, my goodness. And I just worked on my paintings. I did better and better and better until I could fly the cage. So if it's something that you can't deal with, you need to be somewhere else. But there are people who actually can master these highly political environments. And they can be arbiters. They can be negotiators. They can be peacemakers, and they find that their value in life is being that kind of positive person in an environment that could go downhill very fast with conflict if it worked for the gallant and valiant people who do bring those values into the workplace.
Right, yeah. Really needed.
I strive to be one of those people who brings higher values in, you know. So thank you so much for the prayers and the blessings. You know, really appreciated.
I understand. I truly, I am empathetic with where you are, my dear.
So, thank you so much.
Just be that bringer of values. And you will find that other people then value you tremendously.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, I feel like this, you know, coming to this call every week just really helps me and helps remind me, you know. So it's so important to me, and I'm so, so deeply grateful. So thank you.
I'm so glad. So glad you're here. And let me take this opportunity to express to everyone on the call who maybe never has spoken up, maybe never wants to, your prayers are still heard. God is here. He's talking to you. You're talking to him. And so if for any reason you feel a little inhibited or just that you don't think it matters that you speak up, that's okay. It's totally okay. This call is for you, however you want to take it, all right? And there are those of us who speak up on behalf of others.
It works out that way, doesn't it? It sure does.
It sure does. Yes, it sure does.
Well, thank you, everybody. We are a clear board now, Glenda.
Oh, we are. Okay. Well, I just walked out on to the porch to look at the clear sky. So let me get back to the board. or you could put us on lecture mode, Nancy.
Okay.
Okay. Well, now, everyone, it's time to relax. Take a deep breath. And stretch your limbs. Tilt your head forward and backwards. I'm just using really, really easy gestures so that hopefully I can include everyone. Like Eva, if you're in a wheelchair, just lean forward and stretch your back a little bit. Okay? And then extend your legs and stretch your legs and make windmills out of them. See that even little tiny windmills are great. Okay? And one of the things I've noticed, and I'm sitting down so I can model this for others who are sitting down, is you stretch your legs out as far as you go. Then you bend one leg up, like under your chair. So your knee is bent, and that brings a greater stretch to the other leg. And then you stretch the other leg as far as it will go. And you'll feel it. You'll feel it in, the hamstrings. You will feel that stretch, and it's good for you. Then bring that leg up and stretch the other one. You can stretch it's interesting how you can stretch one at a time better and further than you can stretch both of them at once. Maybe if you were a yoga master, that wouldn't be true, but for us ordinary folks that walk on the earth in fairly ordinary ways, you know, we have to learn what the better stretches are to get our body open. What you're doing by stretching is you're opening your joints and you're, literally stretching your muscles. You're creating openness that you can receive more blood, more oxygen, more of everything into your body. And you want to be an open receiver. Now, just move your shoulders back and forth and then up and down. And then bring one arm out at a time, not both, one arm out and lean into it and then stretch back from it. Okay, now the other arm. Stretch, lean into it and push it. Now stretch back from it. See how great that is, that you're opening up more. And now raise your arms, okay? Raise your arms and now bring them down to the side. And raise them again and bring them down to the side. Those of you who are mobile, well, you know, more things you can do and just do it. For those of us who are a little bit more limited, bend your arms towards your chest so that your fists come over your thymus, which is like your sternum. Okay. It's like you're making bird wings. Okay. Now flap your bird wings. Okay. And pull your bird wings in as far as you can, and then take your bird wings out as far as you can. Lift them up and lift them down. See, you're actually do the bird maneuver. That's really what this is. It's all the directions you could move your little wings, and you get an openness in your chest. Now you take one bird wing down, like your left one, and lift your right one up. And you'll stretch your rib cage and your chest muscles. Now take the other one down, lift your other bird wing up, and you'll stretch the rib cage and your muscles on that side. This is important for expanding your lungs to take in a very deep breath. And that's exactly what we're going to do now. I want you to take in the deepest breath you can. Expand your diaphragm and your lungs. And when you've taken that breath in, force a little more in and a little more in and hold it 1 second. And now release it. And don't just release it. Release it and push it out. Push up with your diaphragm. Squeeze your lungs. Get it all out so that you've really cleaned your lungs. Now we're going to do that one more time. Take it in. Fill your lungs. Extend your diaphragm. Now, push it all out. Push it all out. Now we're going to return to normal breathing. Just a normal pattern of in and out, whatever's comfortable for you. But we're going to put a little bit of control on it. It's called mindfulness. Because breathing is the very pattern of life. And it's really an index that measures how well prepared you are to both give and receive. What I want you to do is you're going to breathe out in a normal way, but count to four and stop. Now, remember to stay stopped for another count of four. Your count. Now inhale to the count of four and stop. Now exhale to the count of four and stop. Inhale to the count of four and stop. Okay. Now, if you were doing this according to regular protocol, which I've shown you many times before, is during the stop period, you would also count to four in order to insert a regular pattern and actually recognize and give significance to these pauses, because they are very significant. The pause after you exhale is the pause that allows your gift of life and air to be received, if only by the environment, not necessarily a person, a bush, or a cat, but just the environment, the space. You're giving into the space, just as the trees give off oxygen into the space for us to have as we need it. And it gives you a little pause so that when you breathe in, you're not breathing in the same air you expelled. You can breathe in fresh air. All right. And then you pause to the count of four again in order to receive that which you inhaled, without immediately exhaling it. Just think about this for a minute. What if you exhaled and then breathed in the same breath? What if it benefited you? What if you inhale and immediately exhale the same breath? What if you benefited from it? You know, we do that a lot in life. Let's just think about this. We give money, and then we immediately spend the same amount we gave out somewhere else, but it's all the same flow in our life. We don't give time to recover income so that we have new income that's attached to a new purpose. We inhale, we get a gift, or we get a paycheck, and spend it immediately without thinking about what our new and next priorities are. You see, when you give and don't give a chance for your gift to be received, where's the gift? If you take in and you don't give yourself a chance to assimilate and receive, where's the benefit? Sorry, I disobeyed my own rule. I inhaled and immediately started to exhale, and it made me cough. Isn't that interesting? So I muted myself. You wouldn't hear my cough. But that's a good illustration of what not to do. give yourself a pause in life, in everything. Have you, you know, I once had some neighbors who were very generous, and their thoughts and their motivations were very pure. But my husband and I were just a brand new couple. We didn't have our apartments fully furnished. And they would bring over little tables or chairs that they thought was cute, leave them on the front porch, and we'd take them in. So obviously they would see this and take it in. Oh, they'd be calling us 20 minutes later. Did you like them? Can you use them? And I would have to say, well, I love that you gave them to us, and we're still working on where we're going to place them. So when we get them placed, we'll call you to come and see it. Well, okay. I just wanted to make sure you got them. You know, they were hungry for acknowledgement. And I can understand that. That's just a human, it's just a human thing. But, you know, the thing is, we would have called them, and probably we would have called them and said, hey, come over and take a look at where we put them. And then it would have been such a better interchange. And our appreciation could have been fully grateful instead of, well, yes, we got them. Thank you so much. We're looking for a place to put them. You see, which is a very incomplete gratitude. All of life is like this. You take on a project and you work on the project and you let it go. And you give the people who are next in line on the project a day or two to reflect on it before you check in with them. Give them time to contribute to the project so that they're team members, not just recipients, acknowledging what you did. We're all in this together, folks. And it's nice to give this little space because it's called respect. And it's also called recirculation in an appropriate way. You will get back what you receive, but you may get it back in a different form, in a form that you need. Obviously, you didn't need what you gave, or you wouldn't have given it. And wouldn't it be better to get it back in a way you can receive? You know, when I breathe out, I'm giving out carbon dioxide. I don't need that. When you're giving it out, I want to breathe in oxygen, you know. So you pause, a few seconds, turn your head another direction and take in some oxygen. That's the better way to go. And in all of life, that's the better way to go. And I apologize, I've told it so many times, but my mother, who was a farm girl who should have known better, in her first year of marriage, she wanted to start little pumpkin seeds. She and her new husband had pumpkins for a pumpkin pie and so forth, and real pumpkins on Thanksgiving. And so she saved her eggshells, put soil in them, and buried the pumpkin seeds in there. And every day she would dig them up to see if they sprouted any roots. And she was the laughing stock of the family because, her dad would say, her name was Alma. Alma, didn't living on a farm teach you anything? And everybody would laugh at her, and they would say, well, you probably destroyed the seeds is what you've done. That's why they never came up. You spill them out every day to check on whether they had roots. And so she had her little moment of humiliation, got over it, and of course, well, she became a very famous gardener because she learned the ways of life. But what I'm teaching you today is fundamental to the ways of life. And I just want you to practice it because you can actually calm the storm in your world. You can take yourself, all of us occasionally have very minor anxiety panic attacks. It just, if it's nothing but people are going crazy in traffic and we clutch the wheel just a little bit tighter, and we watch the lane we're in a little more carefully. We look behind and forward, and we think, I got to get out of this. I don't like the way people are driving. Well, it's a very minor panic attack is what it is. You can get yourself out of that by just the four square breaths. You can. It'll help you think better. It will bring your confidence because this is the way life works. And what happens that set off your panic attack is all of a sudden you stop breathing. This happens. When you get into a panic, you stop breathing. It affects your autonomic nervous system. Not for a long time, but for a few seconds. You don't breathe. And then when you do breathe, it's like, and you notice that out-breath, it's a little more exaggerated. That was a panic attack. You can control that. You understand the boss is upset with production. He's coming in 5 minutes to talk to everybody, and you clutch the arm of your chair like, oh, my God, what's she gonna say now? All right, four square breath. Call it into operation. You'll be calm. Whatever happens, you can face it. And you can face it with more confidence, a little more wisdom. So now what I want you to do is I want you to get into your four square breath and just be in it until it's time for you to pray. And you will find that your prayer is a lot more addressed to God and a great deal more oriented toward receiving the blessings of God. I'm going to stand and offer my prayer. Then the blessing givers will join me, and you will start your prayer. Okay. I want to ask the blessing givers to stand with me. And I call Yeshua into our midst, knowing, O Lord, you have been here all along. But we call you into this moment for exceptional and explicit blessing. We pray love into your name. We pray adoration, honor, and reverence into your name, gratitude, and blessings for all you have given us. That is more than we can even express in all of our appreciation. For life is more than we can see or embrace or measure or comprehend. But we are so glad to be swimming in it. We thank you for everything you've given us. And we ask your help in being more open to all you've given us that we didn't know how to receive, because our defenses have blocked our receiving. Our insufficiency of faith has kept us from relaxing into more possibilities than we knew were there. And our willfulness has positioned us to seeing only the answers we envision and not the other possibilities and probabilities of our existence, our environment, and our world. We ask that you open us, breathe into us, embrace us, and look us in the eye until we know how loved we are. We ask the same for everyone in this world, all the children of God, who don't know they are children of God, who may think they're abandoned to brutal circumstance, conflict, or abuse. Especially we ask this for the children. We ask this for all areas of the world who are under siege or in a state of catastrophe. We ask this for your homeland of Israel that is now in the beginnings of war, we ask that the war be ceased and that the valiant may be upheld and the values of historic sovereignty to many nations and the world be honored. We ask for everyone who's been injured that they be lifted up and healed. We ask the Holy Spirit comes to all of us, that the Holy Spirit will wash our earth until it is clean of malintention, until it can face conflict as something that can be resolved and not perpetuated. Feed the hungry. Heal the sick. And give a home to the homeless. There is more that we could ask, but we know that you see, we know that you love, and your compassion is beyond measure. And so we just give our hearts to this prayer and this blessing, that we stand with you, and we hope to make our life exemplary in all the ways you have taught us. In your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you now join me?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's time to just rest and receive. Do not think. Don't put words in your mind, not even through prayer. Just receive. Be a blank slate, a whiteboard, on which God can write your blessing. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next week. Take care of yourself and receive those blessings. Bye-bye for now.